Give your heart to Jesus Christ, and He will guide you through your life. For He wants you to know He loves you so. He gave His life for you.
So if you
He loves you so, He gave His life for you.
So if you
give your heart to Jesus through faith, He will give you peace, a peace that has no fears and never will end. On Jesus you can depend.
So if you give your heart
Jesus loves you,
and
He will guide you through your life. For He wants you to know He loves you so. He gave His life for you.
Amen. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, and we'll read one verse, verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 10. And if you would please, when you locate that, go ahead and stand with me. Stretch your legs one last time. I'll skip the lecture on last time. We talked about that this morning. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 10. The Bible says, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we love You. We thank You for the Word of God. Pray You bless it to our hearing. And Lord, I yield to You. Please, would You fill and use me tonight? And I pray that You'd minister to every need, and I pray You'd get glory to Yourself. We'll praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. I want to talk to you about this subject. You can only bear so much. In Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 10, he said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we cannot build the wall. These were laborers, not loafers. These are people who had gathered, according to Nehemiah 4 and verse 6. These people had a mind to work. They had a desire, a mind to work, and they had set out, but there was much rubbish. And by the time they got done dealing with the rubbish, there was no more time and no more energy to do what they had actually come together to do. The building was not happening because there was much rubbish. Now, to bear means to support or sustain something. It has to do with me being able to transport something without it crushing the vessel, sinking the vessel, or sinking the person who is trying to bear it. If it's more than I can bear, it'll take me down. And he said the bearers of burdens, their strength is decayed. Why? There's much rubbish. Rubbish is refuse. It's stuff that has no consequence. It may not be wicked or ungodly, but it is an extra weight that'll drain you and rob you of your ability. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, he said, we're to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Everybody in this room has the sin that does so easily beset you. The one you can't believe you did it again. You thought you had it whipped, and he said, I'm going to have to be extremely careful and take measures to protect myself in that area. But he said, in addition to dealing with sin in my life, and especially my besetting sin, I'm going to lay aside every weight. Weights may not be things where God said, thou shalt not. Weights may not be things that are identified as sins, but they have no eternal consequence. They rob me of my time and my energy and my strength, and they prevent me from really getting to the job, from me getting the job done, because by the time I get there, my strength is gone, and the bearers of burdens had their strength decayed. You know, the Bible tells us in Numbers 4 and verse 15 that the Kohathites were to bear the Ark of the Covenant on staves. They were to carry that Ark. By the way, if you recall, in 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 7, when the Philistines had captured the Ark, and then they started having issues, emerods and other things that God had plagued them with, they sent the Ark back to Israel on a new ox cart. And that was not the prescribed manner. Somebody was to bear that, and God designated who was to bear it and how it was to be born. And it was bearable, but the Philistines sent it back on an ox cart. The problem lies in the fact that in 2 Samuel 6 and verse 5, when David finally decided to bring the ark home, he followed the example of the Philistines instead of the Scriptures. And I'm afraid we don't want to bear our part of the burden. We'd rather use technology. The ox cart was technology. It was advanced to a couple of men on each end with staves carrying it. But that wasn't the will of God. There was a plan and a way, and the burden was to be borne, and the people were designated that were to bear it. And because David didn't do things after the due order, Uzzah reached up to stabilize the ark in sincerity, and he touched what is holy and died in spite of his sincerity. In spite of the fact that he was trying to do a good thing when he tried to stabilize the ark. But when he talks about bearing something, everybody has a certain capacity as to what they can bear. And if you're not careful, you'll be so overtaxed with temporal things and with things that God views as rubbish that have no eternal consequence. By the time you get to the work, the day is gone and your energy is gone. It's decayed. You know, if you're not careful, you'll spend your whole life running a taxi service for your kids, taking them places they shouldn't go, because you're trying to live vicariously through them, and you didn't get to do this. And they will get to do it. Well, I don't know how that's going to turn out. We know you turned out all right, and you didn't get to do it. Maybe it was good that you didn't get to do it, and maybe it would be good if they didn't get to do everything the world's doing. And I'm not for depriving them, but I am for having enough sense to realize there are things that have spiritual value and things that don't. And the people of God are supposed to operate like they're the people of God. I'm to prioritize my life where He has the preeminence in everything, not where I'm squeezing Him in. But you know, this word bear is used numerous times in Scripture. In Acts 27 and verse 15, when they're in the storm Euroclodon, the Bible says, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Here's a forceful wind, more than the ship could bear up in. What happened was the rudder didn't work anymore. They had lost control of this ship. because the wind was more powerful than their ability to go against it, and they totally lost control. And the truth is, if you get overtaxed, you're likely to lose control of things. It will get out of control, and that usually leads to shipwreck, like it did in Paul's day. In Genesis 13 and verse 6, the Bible says about Lot and Abraham, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great so that they could not dwell together. They had too many flocks and too many herds. The land couldn't provide enough pasture or enough water. The land couldn't bear them. And when that happens, you notice it led to strife between Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdmen. If you and I get overtaxed, it leads to strife. It'll lead to strife in the church. It'll lead to strife in the home, because we have allowed ourselves to get overtaxed with things that really have no eternal consequence. But our text in Nehemiah 4 and verse 10, he says the rubbish pushed them beyond their limit. The rubbish is the thing, and rubbish, as I said a moment ago, is not just talking about sinful stuff. It's talking about things that bog us down and things that drain the life out of us. John Wesley said, anything that takes off my spiritual edge is sin to me. It may not be listed as sin, but I treat it like sin because I want to be my best for God all the time. I want to do what I'm supposed to do, and I don't want to waste my energy and my time on things that have no eternal consequence. Burden bearing, by the way, is a good thing. In Lamentations 3 and verse 27, it says, good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. The problem is this. In Matthew 11, verse 28, we're invited into his yoke. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, don't miss that. He said, my yoke is easy. He invites us into his yoke. Here's the problem. You can only be in one yoke at a time. A yoke was a coupling that harnessed two critters together, two animals to pull the same burden, to bear the same load. And you can only be in one yoke at a time. And if you are still in the unequal yoke of 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, and you refuse to get out of it, and then you try to respond to his invitation, you say, well, I'll tell you what, Christianity and a separated life and living for God's unbearable. No, a double yoke's unbearable. And the only way you can bear his yoke that is easy is if you first get out of the unequal yoke. But we have a lot of people that do not want to separate in the unequal yoke, and then they attempt to get in his yoke. They try to get in his yoke, it pushes them over the limit. And since I was already in the unequal yoke, and it's when I got in his yoke that it pushed me over the limit, apparently his yoke's the problem. No, the Bible said his yoke is easy. But I can't get in his yoke. A double yoke is unbearable, so if I won't separate from the unequal yoke, I can't get in his yoke without it pushing me over my limit. It'll push anybody and everybody beyond their limit, a double yoke will. So he warns us about that. And it is the rubbish that we try to carry in our lives that makes it unbearable. And I'm trying to serve God, but without getting rid of any of the rubbish. I got this and this and this and this. And we apologize to the preacher. Oh, preacher, that was a good sermon. Boy, I agree with everything you said, but you know, my life is so full. I can't practice that. But I'm for you. But hey, I don't have time. Somewhere along the line, maybe you need to make time. Maybe some of this stuff that's consuming your time and your energy needs to take a hike instead of the things that God has told you to do. You know, in the Bible, in Abraham's day, the land could not bear them. And in Paul's day, the ship couldn't bear up in the wind. And in Nehemiah's day, the bearers of burdens, their strength was decayed because there was much rubbish. And it said, so they could not build the wall. They're not getting the job done because they never really get to it. Too much time moving things around. You know, the fact that you have limitations is very well documented in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, he said, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Limitation. But will the temptation also make the way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He didn't say you may be able to enjoy it, but you'll be able to bear it. It's not more than you can bear. God said, if I stay in His will, He'll make sure I don't ever experience more temptation in the will of God than I can bear. And that's the God who told me, and by the way, the God who knows who I am, made me and knows my limitations. Romans 12, and verse 18, when it comes to conflict, He said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, as much potential as you have, if it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. He said everybody has limitations. You need to use every bit of your potential to be a peacemaker that you possibly possess. And somebody may push you over the limit, but if you're not careful, you'll be on the edge all the time, and it won't take anything to push you over. Matthew 25 and verse 15, we have the Lord Jesus giving the parable of the talents. And the Bible says, and unto one he gave five talents, which is a weight of money. And a weight of money is buying power or investing power. So he gave to one five talents. And he gave to another two talents. And he gave to another one talent. According to their equal ability? Oh no, according to their several ability. They didn't have the same ability, but the Lord knew what each one of them had as far as capacity, and He gave every one of them enough to live to their full potential. The Bible tells us about the five-talent servant. He came back and he said, Lord, here are the five you gave me and five more. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Be thou ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And then the two-talent servant came back. He said, what have you done with my place in your hand? He said, Lord, here are the two you gave me and two more. I doubled it. He said, not too bad, you inferior servant, but you sure don't measure up to that other guy. Huh? Oh, no. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Be thou ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You realize this is significant. Because the two-talent servant only had four after he doubled it. And the five-talent servant had more than him before he started. But they both heard the same, well done, because they both lived to their personal potential. You and I don't have to compete with anybody. We need to live to our potential. But your potential will never be reached if there's rubbish in your life. All that stuff that may not be sinful, you may be able to justify and say, well, what's so bad about? Well, what's so bad about it is it's keeping you from getting to the wall building. It's keeping you from getting to the job. It's decaying your strength. It's robbing you of your time and your energy. And it has absolutely no eternal consequence. You know, the Lord knows our limits, and no two of us have the same ones. But where there's lack of desire, you know, if I'm maxed out, my desire is gone. Proverbs 27, verse 7 says, the full soul loatheth the honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. The full soul loatheth the honeycomb. The honeycomb was like dessert in biblical times. He said, the full soul loatheth that. Why? Full. No room. You know, when I was in Bible college, this way back when dinosaurs walked the earth and stuff, but when I was in Bible college, Earl Lee came to me and he said, we're going to have a progressive dinner. Now, I'm a Pennsylvania hillbilly, and I had no clue what a progressive dinner was. First thing that confused me is he was calling the evening meal dinner. And we didn't have dinner. We had supper. We were scriptural. Jesus supped with them. Get it right. Huh? Bunch of heretics. But he said, we're having a progressive dinner. And I said, what is that, Earl? He said, just show up 6 o'clock and you'll see. Well, it was better than what I had in the dorm. I had bouillon in the dorm. That's it. So whatever it was, that'd be better than that. I showed up 6 o'clock. We get on a bus, started down the street, and went about a half a block away from the college and a house on the right, one of the church members. He said, go up and knock on the door. Went up and knocked on the door, and they had finger food, you know, celery sticks and carrot sticks and Jell-O cubes and chips and dip and crackers and cheese. And I thought, dumb name for a, you know, finger food, but still better than I got in the room. So I chowed down both hands. I mean, I'm working on it. And Earl was in a hurry. I mean, we were there about 5-10 minutes, and Earl said, okay, time to go. And I'm thinking, okay, Earl, if all we're going to ask finger food, cool it. Let me eat something. And honestly, I didn't know that there was another stop. I truly didn't. So I took 2 hands full with me to the bus. We get out in the bus, and I'm eating away yet. We went down, getting ready to turn the corner at the block, and I said, yep, we're headed back. We're getting ready to turn the corner, and the bus stopped. And he said, what, knock on that door? And I said, okay, there's more, okay. Went up, knocked on the door, and they invited us in. They had 2 kinds of homemade soup and a giant bowl of salad. I got myself a big salad, and I got 2 bowls of soup, one of each kind, because I knew Earl was in a hurry. And I want to make sure I got some of that. So I ate those 2 bowls of soup and that giant salad. Man, I thought this is great because when I was in Bible college, if I got to go to Danner's for soup and salad, that was as good a meal as I got when I was in Bible college. And so I come out of there and I was pretty full and I thought, man, this is good. We turned the corner and I said, yeah, we're going back. And we were almost back to the college, about 5 houses from where you turn into the college parking lot. And the vehicle stopped again. And I said, okay. So we get off the bus, knocked on the door. They invited us in. And they had 2 kinds of meat and mashed potatoes and gravy and homemade bread and a couple of vegetables. And I ate and ate and ate and ate. Don't worry, I've confessed it since. And I have done it since. But, I mean, I ate till I was so full, I thought, oh, my. I'm glad we're close to the college because I can't sit down. You know, you fold in half, all that food pushes up against your lungs, you can't breathe. And so I said, I'm just going to stand up. So I'm on the bus, just barely can breathe, and I think, man, I can't wait to get back and lay down. I'm standing up there holding on to the pole at the front. And we pulled out and get almost to the parking lot of the college. And there's 1 house the church owns that staff members live in it. The bus pulled over. I thought, dessert? I got off the bus. I hadn't thought about dessert. I get off the bus, and those ladies had 2 8-foot tables just covered with desserts. And I walked down there and looked at it, and I thought, the thought of taking another bite made me nauseous. You see, you don't like dessert. I love dessert. You don't get this size by being finicky. I walked over and I told those ladies, I apologized. I said, ladies, I am so sorry. I said, I didn't know what a progressive dinner was. And I said, I mean, I've been eating and eating. And I couldn't take another bite. The desserts look wonderful. Just about the way some of you apologize to your preacher. Because that was a great sermon, Brother Angel. Boy, I believe that, and I'm with you, but I'm too full. I just can't do it. I believe it, but I can't practice it. I'm for you, but my life is too cluttered. Huh? You know, the Bible tells us in Luke 2 and verse 7 when they brought Mary and Joseph came to the inn, the Bible tells us that the innkeeper had no room. It does not say that he said to them, get out of here, no room for you, we don't want you in here. there was a problem. He may have been apologetic finding out that this woman was great with child, may have felt terrible, but he said, you know, there's just no room in the inn, and sent him out to the stable. Has the Lord Jesus been relegated to the stable of your life because there's no room? Not because you have animosity, and not because you don't care. You may apologize all over the place, but when your life is too cluttered with things that do not matter, there's no room. Somewhere along the line, maybe we need to make room. You only have so many hours in a day. You only have so much strength. You only have so much capacity, and none of us are equal, but we all have a certain capacity to do something for God. You can only bear so much, and if you're not careful, the rubbish in your life will decay your strength before you ever get to the work. These people showed up with a mind to work, and they were going to build the wall, but before they ever got to the wall, their strength was gone. Huh? You know, God tells us what we're supposed to bear. And with the time and the strength I have, in Luke 14, verse 27, he tells us we're supposed to bear the cross. Now, wait a minute. What you don't understand is the Bible tells us in verse 25 that Jesus had a big crowd. You know, we're all excited about big crowds, and I'm not opposed to them, by the way. I think we'll reach everybody we can, have as big a crowd as we can to work with. But size of the crowd doesn't define the crowd. Size of the crowd doesn't automatically define the work. The Bible tells us that Jesus had a big crowd. Multitudes were following him. And he shocked them in verse 26 when he told them he wasn't looking for a big crowd. He said, I want you to forsake all. He said, no man can be my disciple unless he forsake all and take up his cross and follow me. Now, here's what's happening. Same thing. Remember this double yoke thing? Here's what a lot of people are doing. They want to be his disciple. So they still have all this rubbish in their lives, and they didn't forsake all. They want to hold on to everything plus the cross. I'm going to get under the cross, but I'm not parting with anything. And when they get under the cross, it's more than they can bear. And in their mind, well, what made it unbearable was the cross. No, what made it unbearable was that you didn't forsake all this rubbish and get it out of your life before you took up the cross. You can't handle that and this. It's this or that, not both. And if you have both, it's more than you can bear. You won't be able to bear the cross. And since you were surviving under the burden of carnality and worldliness, and it's when you decided to take on spiritual responsibility that it was more than you can bear, you automatically think, this is what's unbearable, not that. Huh? A double yoke is unbearable. You have to get out of the unequal yoke to get in his yoke. You can't bear his cross unless you forsake all. It's not possible. It will overtax you. We have all kinds of people who start out trying to serve the Lord and then quit. He said, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You know, the Bible also tells us in Galatians 6, not only am I to bear the cross, his cross, but in Galatians 6 and verse 2, he said, we're to bear one another's burdens. This doesn't have to do with me doing somebody else's work for them. It has to do with somebody going through a hard time. And if you look at the context, even your spiritual restore such one, the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. He's talking about somebody who's struggling, and I'm supposed to help bear them up and get them through this. Help them to make it. So he tells us we're to bear one another's burdens. And then he goes on in the same passage and tells us in verse 5, where every man shall bear his own burden. That means then that I have certain responsibilities. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a preacher. I'm a Christian. Huh? Whatever things I have certain responsibilities, and I'm supposed to handle them. Every man shall bear his own burden. One person's not supposed to work twice as hard so another person can have an income. Huh? one person not supposed to work 80 hours a week, and then you shame him for succeeding when he worked hard and take what he worked for and give it to some couch potato. Huh? And that's neither the Bible way. The Bible said if any man work not, neither should he eat. You get hungry enough, you work. Some of these folks get hungry enough, they go to work. But as long as somebody's going to feed them better than they could feed themselves for laying on the couch, all they have to do is lay around. Huh? What's the incentive? Nobody's ever going to do anything about that. So the Bible tells us we're to bear one another's burdens, we're to bear our own burden, and then we're to bear the stigma of the cross, Galatians 6 and verse 17. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I would identify with the negativity that's cast toward Christianity. I would be proud to be a Christian. The Bible said that the apostles counted it an honor that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. It was an honor to them. It was a thing that they said, we are worthy because we're identifying. We're close enough to what He is to draw persecution. And we ought to have that identity. But then in John chapter 15 and verse 8, He said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. This is talking about reproducing after our kind, being soul winners. Everybody's supposed to reproduce after their kind. And He said, you'll be my disciples if you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. He said, it glorifies God. And He said, it puts me in a position to be a disciple. So you understand that I can bear everything I'm supposed to bear. We're bearing all this stuff God didn't tell us to bear. We have all this rubbish and all this burden we're carrying around. And we're incapable of doing what we're supposed to do. But God told me, He said, I want you to bear the cross. I want you to get in the yoke. I want you to bear the cross. I want you to bear one another's burdens. I want you to bear your own burden, handle your own responsibilities. I want you to bear the stigma of the cross. He said, those are things. And He said, you can do what you're commanded to do. You know, the Bible tells us in John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. But in Philippians 4, verse 13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can only do them through Christ, but I can do everything I'm supposed to do. I can bear every burden He commands me to bear. It's possible. It's doable. But it's only possible if I get this rubbish out of my life. The will of God is always bearable. In Isaiah 40 and verse 31, He said, and they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Didn't say it would bleed them to death and they'd have no strength. He said, I renew strength by waiting upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and shall not faint. Hey, they that wait upon the Lord. He's not talking about sitting around. He's talking about waiting on the Lord like a waiter waits a table. I come and get my orders and fill them and come back for more orders. In Acts 9, verse 6, Saul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And he went and did what God told him to do and came back for more instructions. Proverbs 10, verse 29 said, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright. You don't get strong to do the will of God. You do the will of God to get strong. What do you mean, preacher? Well, some of us are waiting for strength to fall out of the sky. Then we're going to serve God. I try that with weightlifting. As soon as I get big biceps, I'm going to start lifting weights. I'm just waiting. Huh? You're going to be waiting a long time. Forever. Not going to happen. Huh? I have to start where I am. The Bible talks about a man in the book of Psalms who's passing through the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping. And he digs a well. Why? Is he going to take residence there? No, he's not digging a well for himself. He's some weary traveler's coming behind him. No one dug a well for him, but he's going to leave one behind for those that come behind him. And the Bible said that he goes from strength to strength. Instead of using his strength to have a pity party because he was in the valley of weeping, he used his strength to dig a well. And when he used the strength he had, he got the strength he needed to get out of the valley. But he left it a better place on the way through. And he increased in strength, didn't decrease. And I'm simply telling you, you and I can do everything we're supposed to do. but the rubbish in our lives is decaying our strength and preventing us from ever getting to the work. And I'm talking about people that have a mind to work. People who are apologetic sincerely. People who have good intentions, but it just never happens. The full soul loatheth the honeycomb. They can't bear any more than what they have. Their life is too full. You know, the will of God becomes unbearable when you get cumbered with things other than the will of God. In Psalm 61 and verse 2, the psalmist said, "In the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." The psalmist said, there's times when I'm overwhelmed. And he said, what you doing? You're overwhelmed. You don't quit. He said, I need to get close to God. I need to get away from all this stuff that's standing between me and God. I need to find God. Somewhere along the line, instead of us giving up on the will of God, when you get overwhelmed, what you do is pray, not quit. What you do is draw nigh unto God, and He'll draw nigh unto you. You don't throw your hands in the air in despair and keep your worldly burden and get rid of the things in the will of God. You know, you can only bear so much. The real question is, what are you going to bear? You have so much time, you have so much strength, you have so much potential, only so much. What are you going to do with that potential? What are you going to use that time, that strength on? You know, you can bear good works, like he talks about in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. He had before ordained that we should walk in them. You can bear good works or you can bear a grudge, but you're not going to be able to bear them both. So if you're going to hold a grudge, you won't bear good works. It makes good works unbearable when you bear a grudge. It maxes you out. It takes everything out of you. It's like a cancer. Huh? You're going to have to decide. I'm going to have to forgive so I can bear good works, because if I refuse to forgive, I will get bitter. And if I'm bitter, I have hatred. And if any man say that he loved God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. I'm incapable of loving God or my wife or anyone else when I'm bitter and have a heart filled with hate, because out of the same fountain, you don't get blessing and cursing. He said, when it's bitter, the whole thing's bitter. It's not some bitter and some sweet. I'm going to have to decide. I'm either going to have a testimony for Christ or I'm going to be worldly, but I'm not going to do both. You're going to have to decide, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm either going to be conformed to the world or I'm going to have a testimony for Christ. What's it going to be? I can't decide for you. You're going to have to decide for yourself. But you can only bear so much, and you can't bear both of these. It's either or. You have to decide what you're going to bear. You're going to bear a testimony that glorifies God, or are you going to bear the image of the world? You know, you can go ahead and bear the gospel message, or you can bear gossip. But you're not going to do both. It's either or. Huh? If I'm going to be a gossip, I'm not going to be a soul winner. I'm not going to bear the gospel message. Hey, you're either going to bear His yoke, or you're going to bear the unequal yoke of the world, because you can't bear two of them at the same time. And if you bear His yoke, His is easy. Did you notice, coming to me, all you that labor and heavy laden? Where's that from? Get out of that yoke. It's going to grind you to powder. I mean, the yoke of sin and the yoke of the world and the yoke of the flesh and the yoke of the devil, I'm telling you, it'll destroy you. And He invites me to an easy yoke. But instead of me getting out of that one, I come over pulling that same burden and then try to get in His yoke. And as soon as I do, I say, well, you know, it's just more than I can bear. It's just more than I can bear. This Christianity stuff, this three-time-a-week stuff, this soul-winning stuff, this serving stuff, this tithing stuff, this giving stuff. It's just more than I can bear. I wonder why. Everything God told me to do, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do everything I'm supposed to do. So if I get to the place where I can't do what I'm supposed to do, then something in my life is robbing me of that capacity. And instead of parting with the will of God, I need to part with whatever it is that's robbing me of that capacity. You know, I can either bear the cross or the cares of this life that choke the Word. But I'm not going to bear both of them. Huh? I have to decide. Build the wall, or you're going to haul garbage, haul rubbish. You're going to spend all your energy moving this from here to here, and this from here to here, and this from here to here, and the wall's over here not getting built. You say, boy, I really want to build that wall, but I got to move this garbage. Got to move this rubbish. So you going to move rubbish? You're going to build a wall. You'll not do both. It's not going to happen. And you're going to live for the pleasures of sin or the glory of God. I mean, it's one or the other. It's not both. You have to decide. And if you're living for the pleasures of sin, you're not able to live for the glory of God. And you say, well, you can only bear so much. You say, well, preacher, this class, I just can't bear it anymore. This bus route, I just can't bear it anymore. This soul winning, I just can't bear it anymore. This Sunday night service on Wednesday, I just can't bear it anymore. These responsibilities, I can't bear them anymore. Wonder why? You've allowed a bunch of stuff to accumulate in your life that's robbing you of your capacity to do the will of God. Because you now tell me it's unbearable. And once it was bearable, but it's no longer bearable. You know, in this part of the world, when you're flying in the wintertime, they usually de-ice the plane. They spray it down, takes an extra 20 minutes or so. They pull you off to a side place on the tarmac, spray it down, and before you ever go up. You know why? Because if you build ice up on the wings, it's more than the plane can bear because it's at full capacity with the passengers and the luggage. And it cannot bear the passengers, the luggage, and the ice, but the ice has no good purpose. It's refuse. It's extra weight. It's dead weight. So you take measures to de-ice and prevent that dead weight. Otherwise, you take off and you ice up and you have a few options. Since you didn't de-ice and since it's more than the plane can bear, you can either start throwing passengers out to stay in the air or keep the ice and the passengers and crash and burn. You say, well, what's that illustration I'm doing? Well, what you're doing when you stop your class is you're throwing the passengers out. These are real souls going to die and go to hell. They need somebody to teach them. They need somebody to knock on door and win them. They need somebody to run the bus route. But I can't bear that anymore. My life is too cluttered, and I'm going to keep the clutter and cut out what really matters because I have so much clutter I can't bear the will of God. Or you think it's a good decision. Maybe you ought to de-ice instead of de-passenger. Huh? You know, a ship will have little microscopic creatures that attach to it over a period of time called barnacles. They're microscopic in size, but when you get millions and millions and millions of those barnacles that attach themselves to the hull of the ship, it makes it too heavy. And when you load the ship to capacity with cargo, in fair weather, it'll sit a little low in the water. But in the storm, it will sink. It can't bear the storm and the rough weather because it's sitting too heavy. It has too much weight. So if you don't dry dock it and clean the barnacles off of it every now and then and lighten the ship, you're going to get in a situation where you're either going to sink or start throwing passengers overboard. If I were you, I'd clean the barnacles off tonight. If I were you, I would de-ice tonight. If I were you, I'd get out of that unequal yoke so I can get in his yoke and it would be easy instead of unbearable. If I were you, I'd forsake all so I could take up my cross and follow him and it would not only be bearable but pleasurable. You don't bear so much. The question is, what will it be? You know, if you have a wagon, and that wagon will haul 500 pounds, and that's its capacity, anything more than that will break it down. The suspension won't hold more. You have a choice of what you're going to have. You can have 500 pounds of wood, hay, and stubble. You can have 500 pounds of gold, silver, and precious stones. You can have 500 pounds of things that glorify God, or you can have 500 pounds of the manure of the world that sends off a stinking savor in the nostrils of God. You can do one or the other, but you can't do both. It's either or. You can only bear so much. The question is, what are you going to bear tonight? What are you going to part with, and what are you going to bear? Because this stuff, all this rubbish, if you keep it, you'll never build the wall. If you keep the rubbish, you can't bear His yoke, you can't bear His cross, you can't bear the will of God. It's time to de-ice. It's time to dry dock and clean the barnacles off so that you can bear the things you're commanded to bear. You have enough strength to do that, but you don't have enough to bear what you're commanded to bear and the rubbish. Something has to go. What will it be with you? I wonder tonight how many folks in this crowd can honestly say, "Preacher, if I died where I sit right now, I am 100% sure that I'm born again on my way to heaven for a Bible reason. I don't think I'm saved. I don't hope I'm saved. I'm born again and know it for sure." If you could honestly say that, honestly now, I want you to slip a hand up good and high. And if there's any doubt, please don't raise your hand because someone else does. You be honest. All right, God bless you. You can put them back down. I want us to bow our heads for just a moment. I wonder tonight, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, if there's somebody here that would say, "Preacher, I'm not going to lie to you. If I had to die right now where I sit, I am not 100% sure that I'd go to heaven. Not sure that I'm saved, but I have a desire to be saved. Please pray for me if that's you." Would you slip your hand up good and high so I can see it? Don't know if I die to go to heaven. Not sure I'm saved, but I have a desire to be saved. And I wonder if there's somebody say, "Preacher, been saved, but I've not yet obeyed the Lord Jesus in believer's baptism since I've been saved. I know that I should. Pray for me. God, give me courage. Take care of that first step of obedience. If that's you, would you slip your hand up good and high? Anybody like that? Anybody like that? Then I wonder tonight, how many of us in this room say, "Preacher, tonight God spoke to my heart. I want to bear the cross. I want to bear the yoke, His yoke, that He said is easy." You say, "Preacher, pray for me. God would help me to get the rubbish out of my life. I want to be a wall builder. I don't want to be a garbage collector. I don't want to be a wall builder. I don't want to move garbage. I want to build walls for God. I want to get the job done." And tonight the Lord stirred my heart. There's some things in my life. I need to lighten the ship. I need to de-ice the plane. I need to get rid of the barnacles. They're about to sink the ship. And I just want you to pray for me that God would help me to get rid of the stuff I should get rid of so I can bear the things I'm commanded to bear and enjoy it. Pray for me if that's you. Would you slip your hand up good and high and send them all to the crowd? God bless your hands all over the place. Yes, amen. I see those hands. Hands still going up. There's another and another. Anybody else quickly? Yes, I see a hand back there. Somebody else. There's another and another. Yeah, God bless you, buddy. I see your hand on my left. Somebody else. The preacher didn't raise his hand, but I ought to. I need to. Pray for me too. Lord, help me get my priorities in order and part with the rubbish so I can build the wall, to get out of the unequal yoke so I can bear His yoke, to forsake all so I can take up my cross and follow Him. Pray for me. Anybody else quickly before I pray? You say, include me in that prayer. Father, we love You. Thank You for speaking to hearts. And Lord, I pray You bless the invitation and power, humble us. And I pray You'd help us be tender and responsive to Thee, and I pray You'd give us a victory in Jesus' name. I want to stand together, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed, everybody standing. Just a moment, I'm going to point to our musician. When I do, we're going to have a stanza or two of an invitation song. And I'm going to ask everybody that raised a hand and meant business, young and old, I'm going to ask you if you're sincere and you mean business and you're going to do anything beyond just lifting a hand, I'm going to ask you on the first chord that struck on the instrument, leave your seat, find your way down an aisle, and if you can kneel, come kneel. If you can't kneel, you can come stand. If you can't stand, have a seat on the front. Pray there. But I'm asking you, if you're making a decision and you are physically able to walk an aisle and not be too proud to humble yourself at an old-fashioned altar, you raise the hand, you come right now. As music plays, you step out and come do the will of God. You can only bear so much. But you get to decide what it is that you bear. You have a certain amount of time, a certain amount of capacity. You can't bear everything. If you don't bear His cross, you're going to have to forsake all that other stuff. If you're going to get in His yoke and bear it, you're going to first have to get out of the unequal yoke. you can only bear so much.
Be in a hurry. Take your time. Let the Lord speak to your heart tonight. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. Practical Bible truth. If you are listening tonight, the Spirit of God makes it clear to you what the rubbish is in your life. Television, internet. Boy, how much time and energy is wasted on the internet. So much so that when we get to the Bible, it's like, oh, I'm tired. You have to put the internet aside and do the Bible first. Practical truth. You can only put so much in your life. You can only bear so much. You got to decide if what your life is filled with is helping you go from strength to strength or if it's decaying your strength. You know, I was in Garden City out in Oakley, Kansas. You fly into Garden City. Tiny airport. Brother Greg, tiny airport. One plane. I mean, one plane going out. One. Not a super jet, small jet. One plane. We're waiting to go 6:30 in the morning. And they don't go. We don't go. We sit there. 50 minutes. Got one plane to get out. One. And we're not going anywhere. That's frustrating. Finally, the pilot comes on and says, we can go, folks. He taxis out just a few feet and stops. He says, now we got to de-ice. I was aggravated about the 50 minutes, but I was not aggravated about de-icing. He says, it's going to take about 15 minutes, just like he said. It's going to take about 15 minutes to de-ice. I was fine with that because I don't want to crash and burn. When a preacher comes along and points out to you Bible truth, you only got so much strength. You only got so much room. So eventually something has to go. And you know, we're not careful. We want to assimilate all that the world has to offer today into our life as a Christian. I don't know that that's possible. I don't think we can. So de-ice, dry dock, get the barnacles knocked off, and you'll find it a lot more pleasurable to serve God. Excellent message tonight.